The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the show that you thought it was. This is Flower Arranging with Becky. Today I'll be arranging some flowers. Becky's not here, but I will be arranging the flowers in alphabetical order and by size. Anyway, welcome to the program. If you've never watched this particular show before, I'll go through this again. Okay, and I gotta go through this. Oh God, when will you listen? I've been doing radio for 30 years, mostly broadcast radio on Boston area stations, morning show 6 to 9 kind of thing for 25 years. And then I kind of melded into the podcast world because someone told me that would be a good idea. At the time, I thought, you're crazy. Who's going to listen to that? And then it turned out to be a thing. So I do that now as well as syndicated stations around the country. Every weekday, I do another episode. And once a week, I come into this luxurious studio, and I do the visual version of what I do on the radio. Only on the radio, sometimes I'll interview people, but here, not so much. I just monologue it here for half an hour, and that's it. If you want to listen to my show on a daily basis, you can go to Ron Van Dam Show. Just Google that. We're on every platform ever created by human beings, or NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, and again, everything else, iHeartRadio, and the SoundCloud, and the Amazon Music, and the Pandora, and the iTunes, and the Apple Podcasts, and the Stitchers, and all those things. I'm exhausted. I got nothing else to say. So how are you doing? Does anybody ever do a talk show where they just don't talk incessantly like I do, and then all of a sudden they say, you know, enough about me. How about you? Talk to me. And yet you don't take phone calls? It's a very odd thing. But I am asking you, how are you doing? What? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. What is that? I'm sorry. All right, never mind. On the show, I talk about things that most people don't talk about because they're so mundane, yet they're so mundane that we don't talk about them. At the same time, they bother us. As if there isn't enough to be bothered about with everything in the world, you know. But if you focus on that, you'll literally go crazy because humanity has pretty much taken a turn for the worst in every way and shape and form, both in this country and across the world. So, you know, not that things are that bad here, but they could be. Anyway, let's talk about this. Easter was recently. I don't know when you're watching this. Sometimes they repeat shows from 17 years ago, but Easter was recently. And I was passing by a church in the area in which I live, and I was noticing the people walking into the church, because what else is there to do? And I was driving by, and I just saw the people walking in. It struck me that nobody was really dressed up rather well at all. Not even the older generation, they grew up with dressing well. And I noticed that many still do that, but a lot of the older men especially, it was just, what the hell, I don't care anymore. And definitely the middle-aged people and the younger people, they don't care. They just go to church and that's that. And there used to be a time where that was the one thing that you dressed up for on a weekly basis. And they even called them Sunday clothes, separate part of the closet. It's where your best clothes were. Because not only are you going to be in a house of worship, where apparently, you know, you're being watched, but you're going to be seeing your neighbors and your community, and you want to look good and give a good impression, you know, to make them think at least that you have some type of etiquette and some kind of morals going on. So people used to dress well, and they used to look forward to Sunday. And after church, there'd be a Sunday dinner, and you'd still be like, dread, you're wearing your good clothes. What happened to that? When did we start thinking that looking casual for ourselves was far more relaxing and positive for us? When did we get into that? You know who started this? You know who started this? Do you? The banks. It's their fault. I remember as a young adult, when I walked into the bank, every bank employee was impeccably dressed. The men were in pinstripe suits with very regal-looking ties. It was almost like they had a company that sent in suits for them to wear, like wardrobes. They were dressed like they really were taking your money seriously. Yeah, we're keeping your money here, and we're representing your money, and yeah, that's important to us, and we're going to dress accordingly. And that was great. And even the tellers behind the counters, they were even dressed up well. Everybody looked good in a bank. Professional, right? I don't want some poor schmuck handling my money. I want a professional, well-meaning-looking professional person who said, I'm dressing for the occasion because this is important to you and it's important to me. And that's what I liked. Even though they didn't trust me, because back then they used to, the pens used to be chained to the desks, so you couldn't take the pens. So there wasn't a lot of trust going on. But nonetheless, that's an important job, and we're going to dress accordingly. Then all of a sudden, one day, and I it wasn't that long ago, really, I walked into a bank on a Friday, to visit my money, as I do every once in a while. And I walk in the bank, and I'm looking around, hey, all the bank employees, they're not dressed up anymore. They're wearing, like, casual clothes. Hey! This is my money you're keeping in this bank. What are you so casual about? It's Casual Friday. So what the hell does that mean? Well, the weekend's coming. It's the day before the weekend, so Fridays are casual. What? You got to slowly work into the weekend. You know, it's not the weekend yet, but I'm going to dress a little more casually. You have to just gently get into the weekend, you know, in various steps. What are you talking about? And then we got into other casual things, like, you know, if you're going to a meeting or a cocktail reception, well, what's the dress code for your cocktail reception? A business casual. What are you talking about? Business casual. It's business, but it's a casual form. What does that mean? Everything's casual. Our whole lives are casual. And people are going to church in their sweatpants. Yeah. I mean, kids, you know, wearing ripped jeans to church. Well, maybe they're not ripped jeans. They're just dirty, but not ripped yet. You got to have some respect. So Easter, I saw people walking around and they weren't dressed up well. They would just look like it was like slob day. What's happened to us? Why? You know, the mentality that you take is sometimes the way you present yourself and the way you're dressed. And you're saying, Ron, that's very superficial. It's not. You feel a certain way when you're looking good. Well, I look good in my gym clothes. No, you don't. It's just a shame, and it's a reflection on our American society, like everything else is, because it didn't used to be like that. I'm not that old, but back in the 15th century, now it's like back in the 40s and 50s, and sometimes the 60s, men wear hats. They wore hats. It was a sign of, head coverage, you know, and for men losing their hair when they got older, that was not a bad concept. But they wore suits and they wore hats out in public, and women always dressed well. Damned if they'd ever not look perfect in public. They went to the beauty parlor to have their hair sculpted. They cared about the way they looked. They would not. I'm not going there. Women still will not go out without their makeup on. That hasn't changed. But everything, you know, you got a lot of nice makeup on. And the rest of your clothes look crappy. What the hell's with that? No, I got to look good, though. I'm not going out until I put my face on. You put your face on? How about putting your clothes on? A lot easier. We don't do it anymore. The Kentucky Derby, a horse race, well, we'll dress up for that. We'll put our bonnets on. We don't even know what a bonnet is anymore. It's a hat that makes you look stupid, but at least you're sophisticated. Or some false air of sophistication is kind of good enough now. But they'd put on their really good dresses and their really good clothes, and men would be in suits. And damn if you're going to go to the Kentucky Derby and not have a mint julep drink or dress like the best you can. The phrase is dressing to the nines, or the tens, or the elevens, or the twelves. There's a few episodes of a television show called Leave It to Beaver, and young people will think I've just said some kind of sexual, disgusting thing, but I didn't. Leave It to Beaver was a show. It was in black and white. It was a tightly knit, really nice family somewhere in the Midwest, apparently. And this is in the 50s, when everybody was in black and white. And that was in real life. I don't know if you know that, but you thought that television, they didn't have color TV yet. No, back in the 50s, everything was indeed in real life in black and white. There was no color at all. At all. Anyway, Ward, that was the first name of the husband. I know. I don't understand that either. Beaver was the name of the younger kid. His name was Theodore, but my God, if you're named Theodore, you're going to want to instead name yourself after a rodent. I think that's only the natural thing to do at that point. But they would take Beaver to the ball game, and sometimes Wally would go, Wally, his older brother, and they would go to the ball game. Guess how they dressed to go to the ball game? Jackets and ties for the guys. That's the way people dressed. I don't know, but that's what I saw. And that's what really they did. If you're going out in public amongst other people in a social situation, even a ball game social situation, you dressed up accordingly, nicely. We don't do that anymore, and it's changed our society as well, to the point where that during COVID, remember that thing? During COVID, people would actually conduct business meetings without their pants on. You know it's true. Don't argue with me. That's how crazy things had gotten. And then COVID ended, and people forgot to put their pants on, because they were so used to conducting business without pants. It's almost like going to your bank and none of the bank employees are wearing pants at all. And you say, hey, what's going on? Nobody's wearing pants. And they look down and they say, oh my God, I forgot. I got so used to not wearing pants. It's almost that bad. Things have gotten too casual. We are too casual. You think just because it says Adidas on your sneakers that you've got business dress shoes on? You don't. All right, 14 minutes. That's enough on that subject. What is it with, I'm not being sexist here. I'm really not. I never am. I never was. But what is it with women wanting to have their body parts bigger? Why can't you be happy with what you have? Why indeed do women have to put a face on? Men would never put a face on. I think back in history, they actually did wear powder makeup and stuff. I guess because they all had the gout and their skin was going bad. I really don't know. That's what happens when you eat fowl and duck and grease all day. I suppose you're going to get the gout. And men would wear like little dimples on their faces and powdered wigs and stuff. I know. I don't get it either. But women to this day, they have to put a face on before they go out in public. Now, not every woman, but most. Most. Oh, I'm not going out. Like, I have to, you know, give me a couple of minutes. I have to put my face on. Too bad you just don't wear a mask. I don't know what the hell the difference would be, bozo. And I'm not putting you down. I don't think you even know why you do that. Because men always say to their women, and they mean it. Men really mean this. You look beautiful the way you are. And you really do. Women are naturally beautiful. That's just the way they were created. I don't know why. Men? Oh, not a lot. Not a lot of men look good normally. But women don't have that much of a choice, so what are they going to do? But for some reason, women think that unless they put this face on, then they're totally unacceptable. And God, you're so wrong. You're so, so wrong. And then they try to make their stuff bigger. There's only one part of a man that he wishes was bigger, but he doesn't go to any place to have it enlarged because you can't do that, really. But women do. Women try to make their lips bigger, more succulent or puffy or something. And I gotta say to you women that have that done, it shows. And it's not that guys think you look better. It's they're looking at you like, what type of medication are you on that makes your lips puffy like that? It's pretty much not so attractive is what I'm trying to say. Not everybody has my opinion, but for the most part, I've talked to other guys. We don't get the big lip thing. Women always think they have small lips and that makes a difference. As long as they function properly, there's nothing to talk about. And then they want the big, I can't say it because this is a children's show, right? They want the breasts enlarged and it goes by various sizes according to the alphabet. And when we run out of the American alphabet, we get into the Greek alpha beta thing. And there comes a point where you went too far. You went too far. And again, men, maybe they like, you know, that, but at the same time, they're happy with the way you are. They really are. And then there's the big butt. Again, certain men like that. Women feel that they want that to give them a figure, a curvature kind of thing. And maybe it's that when you sit down, you're cushioned better. I really don't know the reason for that. Will you just leave yourself alone? Because I'm telling you, take a survey. And they're not being kind to you. They're really letting you know you look great the way you are. I wouldn't be with you when you go to bed. I see the way you really look. It's good. I would rather date you than Bozo the Clown or the old icon for McDonald's, Ronald McDonald. I don't want that. I want you. So women, I wish you would second guess those choices and be happy with the way you look because kind of everybody else's, in a way, you're the only one that isn't happy that way. All right. There's a new restaurant that opened up in the town of Easton, Massachusetts. You know where Easton is? It's a sleepy little hollow town. Nice people. Quiet little town. Actually, rather spread out. I've been through Easton quite a few times. I even own property here, there. Everywhere. So in Easton, they opened up a new restaurant, and I'm not doing a commercial for them, but they're doing something that I appreciate, in a sense. The name of the place is Gianna Restaurant and Bar, I believe it is, and that's the only plug I'm going to give them. It's new, so it's kind of fun to check it out. But They do something that I appreciate. Tell you what I don't appreciate. Music's too loud. Get some carpeting. Other than that, they have this gigantic TV screen, and they do have some TV screens throughout the facility. But it's not sports. Now, if there's a significant game on, perhaps they will put it on their big screen. But otherwise, it's kind of just nice visuals. I think it's a bird or a hummingbird, or maybe there's visuals of some type of animation thing, you know, not cartoons or anything, but I mean, just, you know, just that kind of, I don't have to watch two aged basketball or football players who have gone bald and fat talking about their favorite players in a loud bar that I can't hear them talking anyway. I don't know why I would go there and have a drink or a meal and look up and watch two large guys talking about something. It's just, thank you for not doing that. Thank you. If you're going to have TV screens, put something on it that's relaxing, a little classy, as opposed to two guys talking about sports or two girls, whatever. I'm sick of sports bars because you all have the same thing going on. And I'm sick of sports bars. Can we do a theme restaurant bar that isn't involved in some type of sports? Does that always have to be drilled into my head no matter where I go? You want something interesting? I'm going to give you an idea, and it's for free. And I know if one of your restaurants are listening to me, or maybe you manage a restaurant or you own one, I'm going to give you a free tip that I think would be very, 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 very effective. And instead of putting sports on your screen, try throwing up some trivia questions. All different categories. The questions on the screen for about 20 seconds. And then the answer pops up. Enough time for people to see it, discuss it amongst themselves, make guesses. Then there's the answer. Those people will stay there for a good long period of time. They will. But you have to change up the questions and the answers rather frequently for those that are starting to enjoy visiting your bar and may show up frequently. Then it's worth the effort. But try putting something up there that's engaging, that make people want to stay. You don't need any sound. You don't need any talking. Just the questions, the words on the screen, on the TV screen, and then shortly after the answer. It's engaging. People won't have play with their cell phones while they're sitting at the bar because they got something to look at. They got something to do. I'm asking you, please, stop with your sports-themed bars. Let the people want to see sport games in a bar go to a bar that has sport games. Why don't you do something different? Why don't you break the mold and be a little creative? Be a little innovative. Thanks to my help. If you make the change, and I see that you've made the change, I want credit for it. Or perhaps, because I'm in the video business, I'm in the media business, I'll create that for you. You can run it on a loop. I'll do that for you. You got to pay me. Okay. I don't understand it. Sports are weird. Some of the richest people in the world now are young athletes in their early 20s. Football players making like $5, $10 million a year. How is that possible not to screw somebody up? I mean, if someone at that age has that much money because they run around athletically and are good at it, I mean, kudos to you. You're bringing in a lot of money for the arena and the sports team and the advertisers and all that. But do you think a 20-year-old knows how to handle $5 million a year, $10 million a year? Well, Ron, they can only do this like for maybe 20 years and then they got nothing to do. And what's your argument? People that age shouldn't have that much money. And I think it's shown time and time again how they really can't handle that amount of money. They can't even handle life. It's a screwed up life. It's a difficult life. It's out of proportion. It's out of control. And yet here they are only 20 years old and they're going through that. I feel sorry for them, although they went into it with their eyes closed. But who is going to turn down $10 million a year as a salary? I'll do anything for $10 million a year. Are you kidding me? Concussion? Sure. Knock my knees into pieces? Go for it. Slam my body up against brick walls and throw me on the ground? Let's get to business. $10 million a year? Pew. Of course, you can pay for those injuries the rest of your life and then some. Buy $10 million a year for like three, four, 5 years. That's beautiful. You've prostituted yourself. You've prostituted your body, basically, is what you've done. And you were in no mental or psychological state of mind to be able to handle that kind of money with any type of expertise. I believe that would screw up anybody's life to make $5 or $10 million a year. I think it would affect anybody in any field. We all make choices, don't we? We all make choices. We're all stuck within certain parameters, certain borders, but within those borders, we can make choices. Some of us can, some of us can't. I get it. I know that. I realize some of us don't have the mobility in order to do that because it's not really available to you. I get that. All right. I have taken 27 minutes of your life away from you. Unless you feel like you've walked away from this program with some type of knowledge on how to prune plants and you believe that Becky is actually the host of this show. She's not. I don't know how to prune a plant. I don't know what prunes and plants have in common. I don't think prunes grow on trees. I don't know, to be honest with you. I think prunes are dried up something else, to be honest. But I, you know, and I think I know what they are. But I don't want to tell you because there's no point. All right, and I'll end the show with this. You can find me on every weekday a brand new episode on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, or you can on your Google machine, which you use for just about everything. You can always find me. I'm all over the place. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. There's a wrestler by the name of Rob, R-O-B, Van Dam, and typically we get mixed up. He has absolutely no ability to do a daily radio program. I guarantee you he does not. And I guarantee you I have no ability to get into a wrestling ring with other people that wrestle as well. So we have that in common. But don't confuse us. We're very, very different people from very different walks of life. And I do walk through life. No reason to run unless you're being chased. That's what I always say. I do have to exercise more. I have an exercise bicycle. In a short period of time, I've actually bicycled 4,000 miles. And after 4,000 miles, I still haven't left the room. That's because it's a stationary bike, which makes no point. If the thing wasn't stuck in my room and I actually went 4,000 miles, I'd be like really far across the country, probably in Los Angeles. And then some, probably in the ocean somewhere. Okay. Have yourself a wonderful day. I'll be back next week. Until then, I wish you peace.